جميل. ولا نقاش كيف from the it's had the khaba she and then she just gave it to Adam and he so why didn't he like say no I don't want to eat it or any conversation there?
Why is there no conversation there? Okay. Who else had a burning question? I'll take two more. Okay? In the back there.
God said he put man in the Garden of Eden to protect him, but to protect him from what?
To protect the garden.
It's actually to protect the garden.
Also from what?
From
okay.
That's
okay.
Also a question.
From what?
This is my here.
Go ahead.
This was actually my bar Torah. But so why is eating from the tree of knowledge of sin? Like, is knowledge not a good thing?
Is knowledge not a good thing? So why does God forbid that? Let's take one more burning question. Go ahead.
It seems like Hashem knew what was going to happen from the beginning. He put him in a specific scenario and he did something. So if Hashem's going to start out that way, why not start out in a better way?
Okay, interesting. These are good questions. I'm sure if we spent another half hour here, we would have at least 30 more good questions. We'll come back, we'll deal, I think, with these questions. Not necessarily directly, but maybe indirectly. I want to ask you something else. Okay? I'm going to challenge you to finish this sentence for me. Okay? I'll give you a minute or 10 seconds to think about it, and then let's see what you come up with. The story of Gan Eden is about...
How many words?
It's a sentence. Finish the sentence.
Jeopardy. Temptation.
Temptation.
Gaining the knowledge of good and evil.
Gaining knowledge of good and evil.
Regaining from sin.
Gaining from sin. Let's take one more.
Human nature.
Human nature. Excellent. You guys, you surprised me, and you surprised me positively. Okay, that was great. Okay? Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to read through some psukim with you, very carefully. And obviously we're not going to read through two prakim right now, but the few psukim that I'm going to read are going to sort of set up what I think is a bigger picture over here. Let's start with the very beginning. Perek Beit Pasuk Dalet. Ela toldot ha-shamayim va'aretz bihi bar'am. These are the toldot of Shamayim va'aretz as they are being created. On the day that Hashem makes Eretz v'Shamayim, v'chol siyach hasadeh terem yihyeh v'aretz. There is nothing growing in the fields, nothing yet growing in the fields. V'chol esef hasadeh terem yitzmach. There are no grasses yet. Okay, which is another way of saying, okay, we started by creating a world, but nothing's working. Nothing is growing. And why is nothing working? So we continue the second half of Pasuk Hei. We're given two reasons why nothing is working. Ki lo hintira Hashem Elokim al haaretz, because God did not bring rain. V'adam ayin la'avod et ha'adama, and there are no humans to work the ground. Now, by the way, how many of those are two conditions? How many of those conditions do you need?
One
of the two. There are places on earth that don't get rain, but humans work the ground very well, and they make the desert bloom. There are places on earth where there are no humans. Tropical rainforests on these South Pacific islands. And things work beautifully there. Right? So there are two possible ways that the world could work. One of the ways that the world could work is if God makes the world work. And the second way that the world can work is if humans make the world work. But none of those things have happened yet. And that's why the world's not working. Pasuk Vav. Ve'eg ya'alim min ha'aretz yishkat b'nei ha'adama. So a mist came up from the ground and watered the ground. What's that?
Came up from the ground.
Right? Meaning, Now one of the two conditions has now been met. We now have a water cycle that can water the ground. And then you get the Pasuk Zayin. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et ha'adam afar min ha'adama vayipach ba'apach nishmat chayim vayi adam nefesh chaya. God made the human. So in Pasuk Hey, we're told that nothing's working because there are two critical conditions that are missing. Pasuk Vav and Zayin tell us, okay, now we have critical condition one has been introduced, critical condition two has been introduced. So what's this story about? We're told the world's not working because we're missing two things. Okay, here are both things. So what's the story about? Okay, so the world is working, right? Which one of these is going to make the world work?
At first,
neither. And now we have two possibilities. And this is what the Torah sets up for us as the introduction. This isn't the Gan Eden story. This is the introduction to the Gan Eden story. Okay, this is the background. Okay? Notice, by the way, as an aside, that what's the name of the first human? He doesn't have one. He is Ha'adam. He is the human. Later on, when the woman is introduced, what's her name? She also doesn't have a name. She's Ha'isha.
Until after the eight.
At the very, very end of the story, she gets a name. The man gives her a name. Okay? That's as an aside, and it may become relevant. Okay? But this is the story. This is the background to the story. We're told the world's not working because we're missing two possible conditions. Okay, let me give you both possible conditions. Okay, now the question is, which one of these is going to make the world work? That's an interesting question. Who runs the world, God or man? That's the question that Torah puts for us. Now we get to stage two of the story. Well, God has a human. He needs a place to put him. Notice how it's all backwards. Right? It's the opposite of Perek Aleph that I told you weren't going to talk about. In Perek Aleph, the world is created and everything is there and it's Tov Ma'od, and then people are dropped in. No. Perek Bet works exactly the opposite. Let's create a human. Oh! I gotta stick him someplace. So what does he do? He plants a garden. Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan. God plants a garden. Be'eden, in the place, this place called Eden, Mikedem, in the east of what, I have no clue. Vayasem et sham et ha'adam asher yatzar. And he placed there the human that he made. So he created this human, and he's sort of floating around, I don't know where, what. This is, alright, where do I stick this pet? Alright, and it goes and gets a cage, or right, a place to put this. A garden. Now, by the way, the word Gan is interesting. Okay, a little aside that may or may not be relevant. The word Gan comes from the word Lahagain. It's a protected area. The Gonain is to protect. Okay, so a Gan is an area that's set aside from everything else. Okay, and the human is put into this protected area. In this protected area, so we have everything. All the trees that are good to look at and good for eating. In addition to all those trees, there are two special trees. What are the two special trees? There's a tree of life and a tree of Da'at Tov Vara, the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? Now, for one of these trees, we're actually told where it is.
In the middle.
It's the center of the gun. And I assume that what that means, if it's at the center of the gun, then it actually represents what this gun is all about. This is the Garden of Eternal Life. Is there any prohibition on eating from Eitz HaChayim?
No.
You know why?
It's the one that's the point of it.
That's the point of it. This is the garden of eternal life. And how do we know that humans at this stage are going to be immortal? Yeah?
Well, I'm thinking, well, after Adam and Chava eat from Eitz HaDas, it seems like Hashem is nervous that now he's going to eat from the Eitz HaChayim. They wouldn't think to do that before.
Right. Okay? But even earlier than that, we're told that if you eat from this other one, you become mortal. You're going to die. If you don't eat from the other one, the Eitz HaDa'at Tov HaRa, then you're not going to become mortal. And this man is going to live forever by himself in this protective area in the garden. It's beautiful. Right? What's not beautiful about it?
By himself.
What?
By himself.
So what? God's by himself too.
It's a mortal man, it's not God.
A mortal being living in the most beautiful place ever created. It's perfect. Isn't this the picture of perfection? God created a human. He created this special place for this human to thrive and said, great, have a wonderful life. Forever. What? Yeah, anybody here ever see the movie
Passengers?
No.
Any Black Mirror episode?
No. Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
What happens to Bill Murray?
Yeah.
What happens to Bill Murray after like 1,000 times waking up on the same day? Or a million times waking up on the same day. What?
He drives into a train.
Right? He just wants to kill himself. Because when you have an unlimited amount of anything, it becomes meaningless. If you have an unlimited amount of money, so having money becomes meaningless. The only time money becomes meaningful is when it's limited. Any resource becomes valuable only when it's limited. Air is unlimited. It becomes meaningful when you're stuck in a sealed room and you can't breathe. Or you're stuck in a submarine. Yeah?
So if man is living this perfect existence within God, then what does it really mean for them to be protecting him? If they don't protect him, then what? Then some of
it's a good question. Not for now. It's a good question. Okay? But we have here this... But the problem is that life becomes meaningless. Anybody here a Star Trek fan? Thank God there are some people here with good culture, right? Hey, Q, you know, Q, tell them about Q.
It's like the super powerful being that can control stuff and he doesn't have a body. I only know most of the old stuff.
Okay, so you only know the first, right? Q is this character. There's been a lot of literature about this stuff. I'm just being like, you know, cultural references that some of you might know. Q is this character that's all powerful and lives forever and immortal. And he lives in this existence called the continuum, like he's immortal. And all he wants to do is die. He comes to the council of the great council of the continuum and he says, please make me mortal. I want my life to be meaningful. When I think of a being that exists, is perfect, and lives forever, so that's an angel. A malach is an extension of God's will. That's, right? It's immortal. But its existence is completely meaningless. Because it can only do what it was commanded to do. At this stage, that's the human. The human is indistinguishable from an angel. has a body, but it doesn't make a difference if it has a body or not. It's immortal, it's going to live its existence forever. And what's God's ultimate response to that? Well, that's not good. Well, Ramari spoke about Ki Tov in Perek Aleph. There's no Ki Tov in Perek Beit. Lo Tov. Lo Tov Heyota Adam Levado. This perfect existence is not good. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with that perfect existence? It's completely meaningless. Which tells me something about what God wants in the Gan Eden. And this sounds crazy, and you alluded to this earlier, right? Okay, so the man is there, Adam is there, and he's living this perfectly beautiful, meaningless existence. And maybe he lived like that for 100 trillion years. Or maybe for 3 seconds. It's the same thing. Because when you're immortal, then 100 trillion years and 3 seconds are exactly the same thing. It's just a blip in infinity. So it's exactly the same thing. And God looks at this being and says, that's pointless. I would love to take... I have a half hour exactly. And I'm not going to take more time. I'm happy to talk to you guys about this later. Okay, or another time. But that's pointless. Lo Tov. So what does God do? God creates another being. And I'm skipping over a lot of stuff. I understand that. He creates another being. That being is exactly like the first one. That's the female version. It's Ha'isha. Okay? What does he hope to accomplish by creating that other being? Is it simply to provide companionship to the human? By the way, the human didn't know that he was alone. Or it didn't bother him. God decided that it was bad. The human is perfectly happy with that. What's the point of this Ha'isha?
To reproduce. As an assistant.
There's no indication of reproduction here. In fact, the Torah goes out of its way to saying, basically, he's male and she's female, and that's irrelevant.
Oh.
Right? They're naked, and that's irrelevant. There is no sexuality. There is no reproduction. So I'll tell you what I think her purpose is. She's just like him. She's made up of the same stuff that he is. Literally and figuratively. Etzemi atzamayu vasami psami. Right? She's literally and figuratively exactly the same as him, with one difference. He was instructed not to eat from the Eitz HaDa'at Tovara. And she was not instructed not to eat from the Eitz HaDa'at Tovara. That's the only difference between them. What possibility does that open up?
Peer pressure.
Hmm?
Peer pressure.
Possibility that opens up is that?
Well, I was thinking in reference to what the Ramban says about the Eitz HaDa'at.
Forget it. What possibility does it open up?
That she was allowed to eat.
That she's going to eat from the tree. He would never eat from the tree. You know why? Because God told him not to, and he's a perfect being. He can't distinguish between Tov and Ra, which means that he can't do something other than what he was instructed. Who instructed her?
Adam.
Apparently, Ha'adam. The man instructed her. Right? So, there's a possibility. Right? There's no possibility the man is going to defy God, but there's a possibility that she's going to defy the man. Damn, that also doesn't work. And it might be another 100 trillion years that they're together, the two of them together in the garden, dancing naked, not and with not a care in the world, and there's no sex and there's no reproduction because they're asexual beings, because they're immortal. And when you're immortal, you don't need to reproduce. We reproduce because we want ourselves to become immortal. But they have no need for that. They have no need to reproduce because they're always going to be around. So that also doesn't work. It was a nice try. Creating another one just like him, same nature, but was not commanded. So at that point, a third character is introduced into the story. The Nachash. And that third character is interesting. Because what are we told about that third character? Yeah?
He's the most naked of all
men. Okay, most naked, right? And there is a play on words over here. He was naked, but that same word for naked also means smart.
Yeah, I'm saying he could be cunning. But...
right? Good. Okay, nice play on words there. He's naked just like them. Okay, he was more naked than any of the other animals, which means he's more like them than any other animal. He's smarter than all the other animals. And what else can this...
He speaks.
Okay? And now look at the following scene. Okay? Woman walking through... right? The woman walking through this perfect garden of perfection. Man says, you're not allowed to eat from that one. Okay, she listens to him. One day, snake comes along and says... and I'm, again, abbreviating. Oh, that's not true. You're allowed to eat from that one. The only reason you were told not to is because God was afraid that you'd become like him. God's protecting his turf. God's Yodea Tovara. You want to become like God? You can eat from that tree. Man says, you're not allowed to. Or man says, don't. Snake says, do. Now, the woman's sort of in a little bit of a precarious position over here. Because what does she know? Here's one intelligent being telling her, you're not allowed, or don't. Here's a different intelligent being telling her, well, if you do, you will become a Yodea Tovara. Which intelligent beings should she listen to? That's a funny quandary to be in. Now, if I wanted to write a midrash, I could. There are a lot of midrashim that could be written over here. Here's one example of midrash that could be written. The snake saying, how do you think I got so smart? By the way, the snake was not wrong. Eating from that tree would make them like God, Yodea Tov Vara. The snake was absolutely correct. The only thing the snake lied about was about whether they'd become mortal or not. Man said, well, we don't know exactly what man said, but the snake said, lo motu mutu. If you're on the other side, in terms of what the tree really was, he was right. This is the tree of godliness. By the way, it's a different kind of godliness. Right? The man and the woman, well, they have a kind of godliness in them right now. Say that again?
They're immortal.
What the snake is offering is a different kind of godliness. V'yitem yod'ei tovara. V'yitem kilokim yod'ei tovara. And now we have a choice between two different kinds of godliness. We all know how the story ends up. But when we tell the story like this, it sounds like, and I'm going to sort of condense the story a little bit, it sounds like the story of Gan Eden is not a story
of sin and punishment. But rather, it's a story of making choices that define our fate. Staying away from the tree, well, then you stay immortal, meaningless. Eating from the tree turn gives you a different kind of godliness. You now live a meaningful mortality. And there are two paths over here. There's the path of meaningless immortality or meaningful mortality. Guess what? Those two paths are represented by those two trees. Etz HaChayim is the path of meaningless immortality. Etz HaDa'at Tov HaRa is about meaningful mortality. And that's exactly what the Torah introduced at the beginning of this story. Remember that? Nothing's working. There are two ways for the world to work. Either God makes it work, meaning either there's meaningless immortality, or humans make it work in their own way in a meaningful mortality. And the two trees in the middle of this garden represent those same two paths. And what's the purpose of this story? The purpose of the story is basically to say, how did humans become humans as we know them? And now comes the kicker. It came as a result of a choice that humans made. And that's the critical piece of it. Meaning, she made a choice. Not clear whether he made a choice or not. And there are a lot of different ways of reading that story, of slicing it up. I think the simplest reading of it is that he saw what happened to her. And she gave it to him and he joined. He wasn't tricked into it. He knew exactly what he was doing. But that's open for discussion. And as a result of that, their world changed. As a result of that, they became mortal, which is why they had to cover themselves up. Because when you're mortal, then sexuality becomes important, because you need to reproduce. When you're mortal, you got to work for stuff. You don't have unlimited time. You don't have unlimited resources. And when you're going to live outside the garden, you have to work for your food. So what happens to her is she becomes responsible for reproduction, and he becomes responsible for providing food. And both of them, by the way, come with pain. Same word is used, by the way, for both. Etzev. Be'etzev tel divanim. Be'itzavon tochalena. Yeah. I mean, you got to work for it, and it hurts. And you get it, it becomes meaningful. And this story, I go back to that initial question that I asked you. The story of Gan Eden is about how humans became human. And the crazy part is that God orchestrated humans making the choice to become human. Because that enables us to take responsibility for all the things that we do. If God made us this way, we could complain and say, "You made me." But if we make the choice, right, even if God has to put those seeds out there and lead us on that path, but once we make that choice, we own the consequences ourselves. Okay, that was exactly 1/2 hour. I opened up a can of worms over here. I understand that. I changed the way people normally read this story. This is not a story about sin and punishment. It's about human nature. How did people become people? Okay, I need to pause. Now you're going to hear from Rav Morty. There's something completely different.
Okay, we're around 30 seconds to stretch.
And by stretch, I mean take the card to right to pass it. Where's the next one?
That's the opposite.